Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. If you had a hammer, would you knock out and destroy your smartphone, your child's smartphone? That's the topic of my talk tonight, and it's the issue of smartphones in the home, in the family. I read a recent statement that is very profound. And it causes us to stop and think. Here's the statement. When careless parents put smartphones in the hands of clueless children or kids, lives get smashed. You know, it isn't the smartphone that is to be smashed. It's the question of whether you're smashing the lives of your children by putting in their hands a tool that has potential for damage as well as potential for good, but a great deal of potential for damage. So how are you going to handle this issue in terms of this degree of influence on the life of your child? Well, let's take a look at it in terms of what kind of factor this really does represent in the home. You know, kids today have smartphones. Everybody has a smartphone. In 2015, only 88%, 85 to 88% of the kids had a smartphone. Today it's 95% of kids that have a smartphone. So it's virtually everybody has a smartphone. Now the question is, what about age? Should a smartphone be in the hands of a 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 16-year-old, 18? At what age should a smartphone begin? It's like, when does a child get a driver's license? When do we allow children to engage in decision-making of their own making? Well, that's a problem that we have to look at. But today, clueless parents give smartphones to clueless kids, and damage is the only thing that can come from that. Young children do not know how to manage and how to incorporate a smartphone into their life in a meaningful but a protective and a healthy manner. Now, some years ago, a man by the name of Tony Reike wrote a book entitled 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. He addressed the issue of how a phone changes the life of an individual, the life of a family member, and the life of family members, if you will. And he makes this kind of observation. He says our lives today are consolidated by our phone. It's the phone that consolidates our life, not our values, you know, not our family, not our family bond. You know, what brings the entire life of a child together into one place around one theme? Well, it's the phone, he says. He says it incorporates and it brings together our calendars, our camera and photo taking, our picture taking, our workouts, our work schedule, the search of knowledge, the search of information. Everything we do it by means of the smartphone. So the smartphone becomes the controlling factor in the life of a child, in the life of an individual, adults as well. It's the first thing they reach for in the morning. It's the last thing they put down at night. That's addictive behavior. Anybody that is addicted knows, anybody that studies addiction knows that the characteristic of addiction is the engagement of that particular substance or that particular activity first thing in the morning until the last thing at night. And when we don't have access to that thing, and when we don't have availability of that thing, we get anxious. We get nervous, we get scared, we get lonely, we get upset, we get distressed. So here you are with the phone. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. If the phone is taken away or is not available or is out of juice, we get upset, we get anxious, we get nervous, we get scared, we get frightened, we get lonely, we get frustrated. So what can a parent do? What can a parent really do in this kind of situation where we have an object in the home, which is the object of addiction? Might as well be alcohol. Might as well be a drug. Some kind of food. You know, or whatever it might be. In this case, it's the phone. You know, a survey was done on with parents and with children, teenagers. And 95% of the parents that were surveyed felt that their teenagers were addicted to their smartphone. And when they asked the teenagers, 50% of them felt addicted to their smartphone. So parents and teenagers pretty well agreed that teenagers are addicted to their smartphone. Then there was another question to ask. 27% of parents feel that they are addicted to their smartphone. And when that question was asked of teenagers, 28% of them felt that their parents were addicted to the smartphone. In other words, they agreed. The only difference was is that about, if you take it an average, about 50 to 55% of parents are addicted, according to their own admission and according to the admission of their kids. But only about 27%, 28% of the kids are addicted, according to their own admission and the admission of their parents. So we have an addiction problem. If 10% of the people are addicted to alcohol, we have 27-28% of teenagers addicted to smartphone use. And over 50-55% of parents addicted to it. So you see, it is a very intriguing issue. And we have to look upon it as an addictive object in our home. An addictive substance, if you will, in our home. Now, what can parents do about this? You know, there's a teaching moment here with smartphones. The time when a parent can really use the smartphone to teach some principles of life and to teach some values of life and teach some ways to make decisions and to make some choices and to encourage self-control and self-management as compared to a child living impulsively or a teenager living impulsively. The first thing that a parent needs to understand is that they are in control, or at least they should be in control, of their child's smartphone, as well as their own smartphone. That's the first thing. A parent is in charge. A parent is in control of a teenager's smartphone. It's the teenager's smartphone within the context of a family. It's like a teenager using a family car. The teenager doesn't manage the car and its use. The parent does. So it's the same thing. Parents have to first understand that, accept that, and take the responsibility and implement it. They're in charge. Now, some parents might be very wise, to not buy a smartphone for their kid, either because that kid is too young or the kid is too irresponsible. That's number one. Don't buy it in the first place. Don't walk into a problem. If you know you're going to have a problem with it, you just anticipate and know that you're going to have a problem. If you buy that smartphone for your child, your teenager, don't buy it. That's number one. Number two is take the phone away. If your teenager, if your child has abused the use of a smartphone, remove it. Put it under lock and key. Put it in a system that only the child can borrow it for a period of time for appropriate and parent-agreed uses. In other words, don't buy it in the first place. Take it away if it's been abused or misused by your child. Number three, obviously, set time limits for its use. Set time limits for its social media use. Set time limits for its gaming use. And by the way, kids that game have a much better brain development than kids who use smartphones for social media purposes. So you have a choice, gaming is better. But set some time limits. The professional community of psychologists generally agree that about 2 hours a day of smartphone use is reasonable and appropriate and helpful. And after that, it begins to have a diminishing effect. That's the guideline, if you will, if you need one. Here's the next point. Delete any and all social media and internet browsing apps. Okay? Just delete them. Don't let your kids have on their smartphone various apps that they can access or internet capabilities that they can access almost anything. From pornography, you know, to movies that are inappropriate. So that's why parents need to take charge of these cell phones. Delete all that kind of stuff that could lead your child down a path of dangerousness and inappropriateness and evil behavior, if you will. But here's another way to control as a parent. You can control it. If your child has an app, or if you have an app on the phone, and your child has access to that app, make sure that that app has a password that only you as a parent know, and only you as a parent can access. The child never knows what the password is. The child brings the cell phone to you as a parent, and you punch in the password, and then you control its usage. So don't let kids have free access to passwords to various apps that they can download when you aren't around, when you are not around and you're not monitoring it. Take charge. Okay? And here's another point. Since addiction is usually something that you do first thing in the morning, last thing you do at night, make sure the phone is parked about an hour before bedtime. Make sure their phone is parked until the child has been up, ready for school, dressed, eaten, teeth are brushed, and ready for school. Then you may have access to the smartphone. Don't let it be the first thing reached for in the morning, and don't let it be the last thing put down at night, and let them not use it as their alarm clock. Unless that is used in another, is parked in another room or a nearby room. And it shall not be engaged in the middle of the night. If a child gets up in the middle of the night, you cannot have access to the cell phone. Okay? So no bedtime use of it, basically. Park it. Have a parking place. And it's usually the place where it's charged in the course of an evening. But make sure that that's your parking place. And that's a sacred place. That is a place that only parents can have access to or can grant access to. You have to have an honor system. You have an agreement. And you have to honor it as a parent as well as a teenager or a child. So smartphones, if you don't manage them, are going to be trouble. Don't let a clueless child have total access to a smartphone, because then you will not only be an irresponsible parent, but your child is headed for a smashed life. Okay, nice to talk to you again, and tell you what, go to my website, www.booksbyhedberg. I got several books there and a good book on parenting, Doctor Teach Me to Parent. Pick it up through the website or Barnes & Noble and or Amazon, if you will. It's a great book for you as a parent to learn some good, positive parenting skills as we've been talking about, you know, tonight. And nice to have you with me, and thanks for joining in. And pass the word. If this is relevant to somebody else that you know, pass the podcast on to another or give them the address of the podcast and have them access it, okay? It would be a good thing to you if you would help somebody else in that manner. Okay, bye for now.